A cold one masks the abstract. Step back and feel the contrast. Echoes of a broken past. Before my eyes, the future flashed. Concepts, the moment past. Fear of the manifest. Waging battle on my spirit. Surrender to what's fearless. See what bodies mix of love and lust. When love was hard to touch, I toss a prayer your way. Namaste, baby, namaste.
Namaste.
Welcome to Yoga Talk, the Yoga International podcast. I'm your host, Kat Hegberg. I am the editor of Yoga International. And today we're joined by Catherine Ashworth, who is an assistant producer here at Yoga International. Hi, Catherine.
Hey, Kat.
And Catherine, can you tell us a little bit about what you do here at YI?
Yeah, well, I assist in the production of several projects, you know, that are going on at any given time. And I'm also writing a lot, and it's really fun.
Yeah, you've written a lot about music recently, too. Done some interviews with some kirtan artists, and Catherine just wrote a great article, which will be out soon, on how yoga can be beneficial for singers. And that is our topic today, yoga and music. And to join us, we have some other very special guests. We are joined by The Householders. Listener, you may know The Householders from our theme song. Namaste Nation's our theme song that we play every week, and we are joined by three householders. The plural we decided is householders, yes, not household I. David and Nima and Jalen. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
And can you guys tell us a little bit, maybe we'll go one at a time, a little bit about how you got into yoga and a little bit about how The Householders came to be.
Sure. Well, I started doing yoga about 13 years ago. I was working in a corporate job in London, and it was actually just recommended to me that I should try it out. And one thing led to the other. I started, like most people do, with an asana practice. And one thing led to the other, and I ended up here at the Himalayan Institute, and I'm very grateful for that.
Well, we're grateful for it too, David. Thanks. How about you, Nima?
I got started in yoga when I moved to a new town. I was a massage therapist, and I was looking for a job. And I went to a fitness center that had massage at night. And the owner looked at my resume, and she saw that I had a dance background. And she had just lost a yoga teacher and asked me if I would train with the person who was already teaching. Mm. So I trained for a month and started teaching. And it wasn't... It didn't feel weird to me because somehow I latched onto the practice so naturally. There were no other teachers in town, but Light on Yoga has this appendix in the back. And I just started doing the poses from the appendix and started realizing that the practice gave me such a unique and very feminine energy. Very, I had been doing the Carlos Castaneda exercises, which is very masculine and warrior-like. And when I came to yoga, the vibe was so different. I just quit what I was doing before and started on this, and I've never looked back.
Excellent. And we're glad you haven't. And Jalen, what's your origin story?
My origin story, I guess, begins with my fascination with religion and spirituality and mindful practices that I've sort of always had throughout my life. And it was my major in college. And so I was always sort of on the look for like different practices that people were doing that were influencing the mind and the body in positive ways. And so obviously I'd heard about yoga. And so I was like, okay, I really want to like actually try this, this practice. And a good friend of mine was doing a yoga teacher training at the time and needed people to practice on. And I was just like, ooh, pick me. Like, I don't want to pay for yoga. So, like, come over to my house and let's do yoga. So we did. And me and my boyfriend at the time and her boyfriend at the time, we all got together in our living room and would just start doing yoga. And she would, like, you know, just lead us through a little sequence and whatnot. And I was really into it. I have an athletic background, so it really, like, suited me to be, like, in my body and be physical. And then I definitely started to notice, like, couldn't quite put my finger on it, but I was like, something feels good. Something is working. So from that moment on, I was like, okay, I really want to like explore more about this practice. And then Yeah.
And you did.
And I did.
Yeah. Wonderful. Great. And so tell us a little bit about how the Householders came to be. How did you guys meet, come together, and how did you form as the great musical group that we know today?
Wow. That's a great intro. Thank you. Actually, I took a break from music when I first came to the Institute. It had been my life since the year dot, and I needed to step back for it for a while. But about a year or so after moving here, I heard Zach Kederhagen, who is another member of the Householders, perform here at the Himalayan Institute. And he stood on stage on his own and did a really wonderful spoken word performance about Gandhi. And it kind of blew everyone away. And it reignited a spark in me to get involved in music again. So Zach and I were working on it for a while, and we knew we wanted to work together, but it wasn't quite gelling. And we couldn't figure out why, so we were like, well, let's just let it be. And then one thing led to the other, and the idea of incorporating kirtan into what we did just kind of presented itself. And from that moment, everything really just clicked. For those of you who have not heard us, a lot of our music is centered around traditional kirtan chants, but we present it in a somewhat modern way. And Zach is a phenomenal, I'd prefer to call him a poet than a rapper, because sure. his flows are so incredibly beautiful and multi-layered. And he actually offers a translation or an exposition, if you will, on the meaning of the kirtan chants. Mm-hmm. And so we started to experiment with the idea of having the traditional Sanskrit chant, but being able to present it for people and audiences in a way that it actually maybe resonate with them and resonate with a modern audience who maybe didn't understand what the Sanskrit was. And Zach acted as, I guess, a stepping stone so that people could maybe get a foot in the door and understand what this yoga stuff was about by rapping and translating the Sanskrit. So that's, in a nutshell, how it started. And then everyone just kind of came on board. Nima came on board. Jalen came on board. Zach's brother-in-law, Phil Petrie, who's a phenomenal producer, came on board. And it's just been going from strength to strength, and it's a lot of fun.
Excellent. And for our listeners who might not be too familiar with kirtan, can you tell us a little bit about what kirtan is exactly?
Kirtan is call and response chanting of the name of God. And it took me a long time coming from a Western perspective to figure this out, because it's not a performance. And it took a long time to undo that aspect of performing for me and just become like a conduit for a certain vibration, a certain prayer. So the names of God carry a very high vibration, and when you can feel that as you're singing them, you can communicate them. And that's
beautiful.
That's what it is for me.
Nima, I really liked what you were saying the other day about the connection between the physical body and chanting itself. Could you talk about that and how that's transformative?
Yeah. So when you sing, you're actually stimulating all the different chakras. You know, you're breathing with your diaphragm, which is stimulating the Muladhara and the Manipura. And then you're vibrating. The lower tones vibrate in the chest, and the higher tones vibrate in the head. And so you have all these chakras stimulated, and that's kind of preparing the vehicle to hear this high vibration name. So you're ready to take it in. And then, of course, you're breathing. And the breathing brings you right to this present moment so that you're actually able to be present to this vibration. And so the thoughts that you would have normally going through your head just chill.
So it definitely sounds like kirtan is spiritual practice. I like what you said about not being a performance. I know I'm by no means a very good singer, but kirtan is still, I find, really lovely and powerful because, as you said, it's not about, you know, being a good singer. It's about finding that connection. It's really beautiful.
And what was really amazing is our last kirtan, we had had a really long rehearsal and my voice was cracking all over, and I didn't even care.
That's what it's all about. I think that's what it's all about. And, you know, even if you don't think that you've ever been exposed to kirtan, if you've been in a yoga class and there's been music in your yoga class, you probably have. You know, a lot of these artists that we hear in class all the time are at least, if not doing kirtan, inspired by it. I know, Catherine, you recently interviewed MC Yogi for Yoga International. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. It was great. And one of the things he really wanted to talk about was his Kickstarter, which he began in early November. Did you guys hear about the
Kickstarter? Yeah, I saw the news about that. That was, wow, that blew up.
Yeah, it was actually really incredible because his goal was $108,000 and the project wrapped up in December and they were able to raise $86,506.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. And actually, I just recently saw on his Facebook that the album Only Love Is Real, which was funded by the Kickstarter, recently made the top 40 list on Amazon's top 100 hip-hop albums on iTunes.
Wow.
And what was really amazing to me is that it's right behind Graduation by Kanye West, Eminem's The Eminem Show, and Tupac's Greatest Hits.
Wow. If you're like right behind Tupac's Greatest Hits, you know you're doing something right.
Yep.
Right.
That's amazing. And yoga and music festivals, too. You know, like, I mean, those are a huge thing. I come from Portland, where music festivals in general are a huge thing. But I noticed about a couple years ago, all of my friends that were previously like, yeah, I'm going to go to the Yoga Journal Conference. I'm so excited. All of a sudden, that was replaced with, yeah, I'm going to go to Wanderlust. Like, who's going?
Mm-hmm.
So we have, like, Wanderlust and Bhakti Fest and the Hanuman Festival and all of these festivals just really springing up. And, connecting yoga and music in that way. Have you guys done any festivals? Are you planning to do any festivals?
Yes. Last year we were fortunate enough to play at Bhakti Fest Midwest.
Nice.
And it was wonderful. I think it's fair to say we were all a little bit curious as to how we'd be received. Bhakti Fest is a wonderful festival. It is often somewhat of a more traditional nature in terms of the kirtan that's performed. And so we were aware that we were going to be turning up and playing this crazy electronica hip-hop kirtan, and how are people going to receive this? And we were all really, we received a lot of love, and
nice.
It was just a wonderful experience. I think we all felt that there was a place for what we did. And it was a very validating experience and just a lot of fun.
Excellent.
Are you guys playing at the Are you guys playing at the Festival of Colors soon, or
what? we may have heard a rumor. Yes.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Catherine. It just so happens we're playing at the Festival of Colors this year. What are the chances of that? Yeah, thank you. We are. We're playing three Festivals of Colors this year. They're all in Utah, to my knowledge. Two of them are at the end of March, and one is in May. We're really excited about those because we'll be taking the stage alongside MC Yogi, as we've just been discussing, Wah, and some other, and some other really great musicians. So looking forward to meeting them and performing.
Excellent. And aside from these big festivals, you know, you have even like these little mini festivals that are creeping up, or these yoga music collaborations, like Yoga Rocks the Park, I know, is a big one. Are you guys, anybody familiar with Yoga Rocks the Park?
Yeah.
In Portland, I know that had just started back when I was still living there, and Yoga Rocks the Park, for those who aren't familiar, it is an organization that has more than 20 locations right now where they have these events where local musicians and local yoga teachers collaborate, and they host these all-levels yoga classes in the park, as the name might suggest. And so if you go to their website, yogarocksthepark.com, you can definitely learn a little bit more about that, and particularly how to bring it to your city. And yoga and live music in general is definitely something that a lot of people enjoy. I know, you know, every now and then I might have a friend come into my class who plays an instrument or who sings and say, hey, do you want to accompany us? And I think students really enjoy that for the most part. And aside from live music during class, there's always, you know, whenever we talk about yoga and music, the question always comes up, you know, should we play music during our yoga classes, like as teachers? And that's something a lot of people have some strong opinions about. You know, some will say, no, yoga is about turning inward. We don't want any music or any distractions. And others will say, you know, yeah, why not? And I know a lot of yoga teachers that are actually quite talented DJs as well. And for them, playlists, creating the perfect playlist is, you know, a big part of preparing their class time. And me, you know, as like a non-DJ yoga teacher, I've struggled with that a little bit. Like, I like using music in class, but I'm not always quite sure what to use. And I found that a lot of studios have rules, too, about what music you can and can't play in class. Have any of you experienced anything with that?
Actually, yeah, I have. For the first, 12 years of practicing asana, I did not experience any music in any classes.
Wow.
So I think it's probably fair to say that maybe I had a slightly harsh attitude towards it, and that it should never be done. And, you know, asana was about focus on your breath, and how, you know, music is absolutely a big no-no. And like all things, I think over time we begin to soften. Mm-hmm. And what contributed to me softening around this issue was I was playing at a festival about 18 months ago just outside of Chicago. And I was fortunate enough to attend a yoga class that was presented by two sisters who would alternate teaching, and then the other one would play harmonium and sing during the class.
Yeah.
And I was just mesmerized by it. And I found that the music itself was actually conducive to helping me be present in my practice, because that was the intention behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a distracting background noise. It wasn't something to just fill the space. The teachers actually were bringing it to the class as an intentional way to enhance the experience of the asana class. And so after that moment, I realized that there's really, you should never say never.
Yeah.
It was really a wonderful experience, and it opened my mind to the possibility that sometimes it might be appropriate to have some music in your class. And I think it really does come down to the intention behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so too. And I know it was interesting for me, coming from a place where I wasn't really allowed to teach music in my classes, to starting to teach at some studios where that was expected. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely a little challenging in the beginning to figure out, well, what music is appropriate? What should I do? Especially if I didn't have live music, if I was working with creating a playlist. And I definitely made some pretty funny mistakes at times. Like, I was teaching a class on ahimsa one day. That was my theme, nonviolence listener. And I thought that I'd make this playlist with, like, some really mellow songs. And at the time, I really liked to incorporate, like, a little bit of kirtan, a little instrumental. And I'd always sneak in a little of, like, the 90s alt rock that I really liked. And I played Santeria by, who is that again? Sublime. Santeria by Sublime. And thank goodness I practiced my playlist first, because I'm listening to the words. That does not sound very conducive to ahimsa.
I remember you talking about one day when you were listening to the Smashing Pumpkins
and you
weren't able to hop up into, what was it?
Into handstands.
Yeah.
I was so depressed about Smashing Pumpkins. I'm like, why can't I do a handstand? So then I actually put on Gems, You're Amazing, and I could hop up into a handstand.
But we still love you, Smashing Pumpkins.
We do.
Definitely.
Yes. Just maybe not for handstands. So if you're interested in incorporating music in your class and you're not really sure how, I actually found this CD. Someone recommended this CD to me, Flying by Garth Stevenson. And I really like this album because the way it's structured is it goes along with the structure of your typical yoga class. Like, it's 75 minutes long and it builds. And, like, you know, when you're doing typically Surya Namaskar, it builds a little more and more. When you're doing, you know, your more long holds or your arm balances, it continues to build. And then it goes down and prepares you for Shavasana. And that's always the thing, you know, that's the challenge. Like, you don't want to have a really strong downbeat or, you know, a lot of electronica playing when you're trying to go up into, you know, or you're trying to chill out and wind down for Shavasana. Mm-hmm. But you also don't want really something really slow and mellow, like if you need to be energized and you're working with some quicker vinyasa flows. So the pacing is something to consider. And I like to put on that CD when I'm not really sure what else to put on. There are also a lot of great sources online that you can use to find yoga playlists. Spotify, of course, has a lot. And Yogi Tunes, too, is a subscription-based service, as I understand, where DJs will actually curate these playlists and flows for you. And I saw when I was researching, actually, I went to Yogi Tunes, and the very first album I saw on the homepage was The Householders.
Hooray!
Can you guys tell us a little bit about Yogi Tunes and how that works?
Yogi Tunes is a service online that has a bunch of really great DJs who amass a collection of yogi music and then make playlists ready-made for yoga classes or massage sessions or any kind of modality you really want to use it for. And you can go online and you can pick the kind of style of class that you want. You can pick like a yin kind of mix or a yang
nice.
Kind of mix. And we were fortunate enough to have our music accepted on the service. So in theory, if you're in some random vinyasa flow class at some point, you might hear a householder's tune pop up. Probably not going to happen during Shavasana. I think someone would probably self-combust if they heard a householder's tune during Shavasana.
That might be a good thing.
Maybe, yeah. it seems that, you know, that it just seems to be getting stronger and stronger, this movement of yogi music into the mainstream, and services like that, I think, are helping.
That's excellent. I'm definitely going to check that out next time I need a playlist for my yoga class. And speaking of self-combustion, I had this experience this summer where I was going to a yoga class. I was visiting my parents back in the Midwest, and I walked into this yoga class. It's 6 a.m. on a Friday morning. I'm on my mat and in my down dog, just like prepping, ready to go. And all of a sudden, I hear Kesha, as mm-hmm. in pop music, Kesha.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe the teacher's just playing this to wake us all up. Class starts, hear a little more Kesha. Here's some Lady Gaga, little Drake.
Nice.
I'm like, where am I? What is going on? What is happening? It turns out I had walked into a class called Shake Your Asana, which was
charming.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pop music and yoga. And my first instinct was I was, you know, indignant. I was like, how dare they? How dare they, you know, play this Kesha over my vinyasa flows? And then after about a song, I was like, oh, my God, this is so fun.
Yeah.
This is the most fun thing I've ever done.
Absolutely.
So I was moving, and I was doing these poses and these flows that I loved. And there was all of this great pop music playing that I, you know, my guilty pleasure music. And it was a lot of fun. And it was kind of interesting to, as you mentioned, David, like, chill out a little bit
mm-hmm.
and realize, well, no, I'm probably not going to reach samadhi with Kesha playing in the background. But that wasn't my intention at 6 a.m. on that Friday.
Right.
And sometimes I think we do just need to chill out a little bit and let yoga be fun, because it's really easy to take ourselves too seriously. And when we get shaken up a little bit and taken out of our comfort zone, then I think that that can really be a gift.
And I think anything that makes you approach your practice with a sense of fun has got to be a good thing, because it's going to mm-hmm. inspire you to keep doing it.
So speaking of dancing around to fun music in the yoga environment, have you guys heard of yoga raves?
Actually, I have, yes.
Yeah, when I first heard of yoga raves, again, my little yoga snob radar piped up, and I thought, how dare they? You know, like, raves and yoga, those don't go together. And then when I actually went to the yoga rave website, which we'll link to in the show notes, I believe it's yogarave.org, then I started to find out that they're actually a really awesome thing. And their website says that the Yoga Rave Project will bring spiritual element back to celebration and the way that we have fun, offering a drug-free alternative for youth to gather and release their energy and tension. And so the idea is to create this really safe space where teenagers and really, I think, people of all ages can get together and just experience a joyful expression. And it's a lot better than, you know, drugs and violence. So I've joined Team Yoga Rave after I
Absolutely.
Read that. Totally.
It was really cool. I think there's a lot of those types of movements and dance parties that are happening now, popping up all over the country. I think they're called like conscious dance parties and
right.
whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
There's one in Chicago called Club Divine that's was founded by DJ Taz. He's a great DJ,
and
activist
actually,
in the community for sure. And it's great because instead of going to a club where there's a lot of toxic energy, You slurring drunk people everywhere, mm-hmm. like random people trying to grab your bum.
Right.
You know, things of that nature. You get to go to a party and just dance with really awesome, dance beats and music, but have it be to, this greater purpose. And it's really, really uplifting, and the community is great. It's, the kind of place you walk in, you can just get a hug from anybody. And, at first, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of oh, my gosh, it's, kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's a little, okay. But then when you're there and you're in that environment, it's so natural, and you're just like, why is it life like this all the time? But it's really great. So I'm really happy that this is popping up and becoming more mainstream mm-hmm. as well, because, again, it's like this bridge that can bring young people into like a more mindful practice like yoga, in a way that's not very rigid that they might otherwise just not even be interested in. So I think it's really great and really positive movement.
Excellent. Thanks for telling us about that, Jalen. Yeah, so I think this is a good place to wrap it up. But before we go, householders, can you tell us a little bit about where our listeners can find your stuff, where they can find you, and just anything else you want to plug before we head out?
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on our website. And you can find us, some of us, at the Himalayan Institute, some of us in Chicago and Madison and New York City.
We're also on YouTube as well, and iTunes.
Yeah, pretty much everything.
I think. Just Google a household.
Yeah, yeah. The music.
Yeah, I think you're first. We link to your SoundCloud page on our show notes every week.
Right, yeah, SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify.
We're making it really hard for you guys to find us. Super hard.
All right, and don't forget that if you have any show ideas for us or comments or questions about yoga and music, maybe you want to talk about an experience you had, maybe you want to tell us about your kirtan group, you can email us at yogatalk@yogainternational.com. And we have a special treat for you today. On the way out, we are going to play you a whole householder's track. And David, can you tell us a little bit about this song that we're going to play?
Yes, I believe we're going to finish with Mukunda Madhava, and I thought this would be a nice track because it's I think it's kind of a nice encapsulation of all the elements we've talked about in terms of how we're influenced by kirtan. And also it's got a really nice mix of hip hop and dance music and everything in between. And so hopefully it's a fresh take on a beautiful chant.
Excellent. And thank you so much for joining us, Jalen, Nima, David, and Catherine.
Yay.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
In the light, lose yourself, take flight. Do I do this all in vain? Capture the flow over the beat of the frame, just to hear one thing. Can you tell me my name? Do I do this for me? A simple curiosity, search for the mystery, visionary to carry, chant to the next century. Do I do this for those that think they know me? Slowly realize I'm not the old me. I do this for the verse, built word by word, to expound what's terse, the unstruck sound as we emerge. Do I do this for the
cause. Isolate my flaws, pause, give them strength. Cause hip-hop is not what it was. This is my offering, this is my shot. Could everyone just get along to this? Sing along, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Why all the drama? Check it. See, you can leave your orange robes at home. She'll bring your malas, gods and goddesses, chants and dancing gnomes. If you got them, how do you own? Play this by heart, it doesn't matter where you start. Your heart is your home. No cheating, no stealing. With your effort, give it your best foot. Sweat to the summer, this up to come. On the dance floor, we want more. The night's still young, let go of tongue. Feel the love, we